Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, January 12, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're going to be on page 28 today, down at paragraph 4, which begins with, We think it no concern of ours. And then ends with, but most of us favor such memberships. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Grace K., the 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Reading the text today in support is Dana P., Sherry M., Don P. Greeting newcomers at the end and recorded and getting sponsor contact information will be Barbara W. And giving us announcements on the activities here at A Vision for You at the very end will be Robin P. Please stay with us for the entire meeting if you can. We're inviting you to do so. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be January 11th, 2021, is 16172, 16,172. And then today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be for January 12, 2021, is 16177, 16,177. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message of to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Grace K. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Grace K. from Pennsylvania. Thank you so much all for your service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Grace K. from Pennsylvania. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, a public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And you might find if you only mute your own phone that it is muted automatically with the star 1 key function with the system here. So you might want to be aware of that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 28 in the chapter, There is a Solution. And we're going to unpack paragraph 4 today, which begins with, we think it no concern of ours. And ends with, but most of us favor such memberships. And I would like to ask Dana P. to please read that paragraph and share her experience, and then we'll open it up to the general fellowship here. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. And to all my fellows on the line, Dana P., compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic, recovered in California. We think it no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. This should be an entirely personal affair, which each one decides for himself in the light of past associations or his present choice. Not all of us join religious bodies, but most of us favor such relationships. So, yeah, what an amazing paragraph. I'm going to try to keep this short. So we don't talk about religions, and it's an outside issue. What I know is that those of us that are in this program or come to this program are seekers. You know, we're looking for something. And what is that something that we're looking for? It is a power greater than ourselves, something that can guide us and direct us, because we recognize that the way that we've been doing it has not worked, is not working. And for me, it was very personal. It says this should be an entirely personal affair. And through the process of working these steps, I discovered that my beloved master lives in me. lives in me, and that is what is so personal. It's personal to me, not to someone else or anyone else, only me. And how I get there is the religion, if you will. So we're talking about religion and spiritual experience. So religion is how we get there, and the spiritual experience is that relationship. And that's what I found to be true. So it could be any religion. It could even be these 12 steps, and that's what it's been for me, these 12 steps, the tools, and the fellowship. That is the quote-unquote religion, if you will, the way that I got there. And I continue to seek a deeper and deeper relationship with my beloved day by day. And so that's what I've got this morning. Thank you so much for having me do service and pass.
Thank you so much, Dana P. So you'll find us on page 28, paragraph 4 today. That will be the focus of our study. If you would like to share today, I'd love to get your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, if you wouldn't mind adding that. And although we do cherish your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might find an opportunity to share their experience as well. If you shared on Friday or Monday, tomorrow would be your day to start sharing again. So I'd love to take the first few people, please.
Stephen G. from Toronto.
Stephen G.
Cynthia C.
Did I hear Judy?
Yes.
Okay. And Judy, you're from Wisconsin?
Yes.
And then Cynthia C.
From Robin P. in Florida.
Robin P. in Florida.
Kathy K. in Sacramento, in California.
Kathy K. Okay. California.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with that lineup in consideration of time. It's a ticking. So we have Stephen G., Judy F., Cynthia C., Robin P., and Kathy K. Hi, Stephen. Good morning to you. Your 3 minutes starting now.
Hi, good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Thanks for your service. Yeah, this is a really great paragraph. When I came into the program, I had a lot of trouble with the God issue. And although I grew up in a Christian faith, I really didn't believe. And any concept I had of God was not a particularly good one, although I couldn't completely reject the idea. I was afraid to do that. And when I came into the program, you know, what became clear is that nobody was trying to force anything on me. Just like it says here, we think it no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. This should be an entirely personal affair. And I appreciated that. Nobody was forcing anything on me. But also what I learned is that as Roland Hazard learned from speaking to Dr. Young, which we read about in the previous couple of pages, is that being a member of a religious body wasn't enough. I needed to take certain spiritual actions, and I needed to live my life in a sense of service and self-sacrifice for others. And it was only through doing those things that I would have a spiritual experience. So it wasn't really about being a member of a religious body. So once I did those things, I had this spiritual experience. And it was interesting because now when I went back to look at my previous faith, my previous religious practices, there were things I now understood in them that I couldn't understand before. And I could now distinguish the things in them that I felt were true and the things in there that I felt were just sort of human constructions. And I learned that there was actually a lot of good stuff in this religion. Now, for me, going back to that religious faith, it doesn't really help me. I don't feel any connection to it. But that doesn't matter. It's my personal choice to do it. But if I work the steps and entirely abstain, I have this spiritual experience that's consistent. And nobody's forcing anything on me. And that's the great gift of this program. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Stephen G. from Toronto, Canada. Judy S., you're up next. And then Cynthia C. will follow you.
Good morning. This is Judy S. from Wisconsin. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. and very happy to be here and grateful that I am a compulsive overeater, because I wouldn't be where I am today if not for this program and for all that I've learned. So the one sentence in here where it says, you know, it should be entirely personal affair, which each one decides for himself in the light of past associations or his present choice. And I, you know, I think about the light. You know, the light to me is higher power, it's goodness, it's healing, it's, and then we have a choice, or his present choice. So I can choose, if it works for me, my past religion experiences and associations. And again, as was shared, I can see some of the things now in that religion I was raised in that makes sense to me now. But I don't choose to be associated with it at all, because I have a choice. And my choice every day is very personal, and my choice is to believe in, you know, a way different God that I was raised in. You know, instead of a God of hatred and you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell, and, you know, on and on and on. And actually that, you know, that was from one person, you know, spewing those things. Now I have a choice, and my God is loving and kind and all-inclusive and loves everybody and helps me and is my friend. So, you know, and exploring different religions to me is really interesting. I really enjoy seeing and experiencing different, you know, services and different religions, just because I can see in every one that there's good in it. There's, you know, and so, and the part where it says, be quick to see where religious people are right. I could never see that. I was just so prejudiced, and I remember I had this moment when I went, oh my gosh, I thought of my in-laws, and they were the most amazing, kind, loving, religious people I had ever met. And I went, okay, got it, God. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Judy S. from Wisconsin. Cynthia C. from Mass., you're up next, and then Robin P. will follow you.
Thank you so much. This is Cynthia C. from Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. Thank you for everybody for making this meeting happen today and every day. I'm incredibly grateful to get onto the meeting today. So I was brought up Jewishly, but not connected, not affiliated. I remember going to synagogue sometimes, and I remember sometimes it was the only place where I felt some quiet, the only place where I was not being hurt or abused, or my mother wasn't yelling. And so I had some seed that was planted that there was something that there was something to be had in a relationship with God or higher power. But as I grew up in such a dysfunctional family, I could not imagine a higher power who would allow such suffering, who would allow genocide, who would allow so many things, and I just couldn't. I had no faith in a power greater than myself. I couldn't believe it. I did everything sort of to go against any sense I had of what was my religion or spirituality. I didn't get it. And it was only by coming into the rooms, by getting recovered, by getting sober, by getting abstinent, that years ago that I developed a relationship with a higher power, certainly, that I had this opportunity to, I was taught I could rethink God. Like I didn't have to take my parents' concept of what a higher power meant, because to me that was I was taught that a God was pretty punishing, and that God was punishing me all the time because of what a terrible person I was. And by the 12-step program, I love that line, you know, is, you know, in Bill's story, like about reconceiving, about finding a God that works for me and that concept. And that's really immensely changed my life. And I realized I just didn't need to believe the lies and the fears that were passed down to me by people who were very hurt and very broken. You know, and now when I came back into program, you know, 3.5 years ago or before that, I mean, it was through working the steps that I was seeking more of a relationship with a higher power that I could find within my religion, that there was a lot of love and there was support. Like it changed my life. So religiously, I'm very involved and very active today, but because I was able to change my concept of a higher power, and more importantly, I love that I learn from everybody here. I love that I have close support people who have different religions, who have different concepts of spirituality. I love that we come together here and we learn from each other, and we come from different backgrounds and different places. And A Vision for You, we're in different countries, in different states, and you know, we connect globally in a way that's so amazing. So I'm just so grateful to be here and to learn from all of you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. Robin P., currently in Florida. Your 3 minutes starts now. Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks, Mel. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, currently in Vero Beach, Florida. And we think it no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. And, you know, I had to have a spiritual awakening, not a religious awakening. And I had to have a spiritual experience, not a religious experience. And that's helped me a lot. I came in a devout atheist, a proud devout atheist like my dad, you know, and this was my bridge to God. And it actually was my bridge to having a very profound spiritual awakening with a voice. One of that type that led me to the God of my understanding. And I asked and God answered very powerfully. And but I never would have been open to having that spiritual experience without this bridge to God. And these steps make it so simple. All I have to do is turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Not the abuse of, childhood. It was very confusing for me at first because I thought, well, if there was a God and there was a Satan, it always looked like Satan always won. And, you know, in my house, there was so much violence and so much terror. And so I had to do a lot of healing on and detaching from a childhood father figure into a higher power, into God as I understand God today, which is a heavenly, not an earthly. And so it's just been a process, and every day that I get more trust and more faith. You know, it's not a fear walk. It's not a rest on my laurels walk. It is a faith walk. And I get to just keep doing that and growing. And I've practiced these principles in all my affairs. You know, I recently did 12 steps. I went through steps 1 through 12 on manufacturing of my products. Like, literally, it can be done for anything. And praying only for knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. Wow, it's just so simple. All I have to do is be honest, open, and willing. And every day I just, boy, it's been so humbling. And God I get to grow up. I keep growing up through these steps. And it's so much better than growing out. Growing up is the way to go. God bless everybody. It's a very blessed afternoon day. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks, Mel.
Thanks so much, Robin P., currently in Florida. Before we call up Kathy K. from California to share on this, I'd like to mention to everyone, we're in the chapter, There is a Solution. On page 28 is where you'll find us. On paragraph 4, we're unpacking that single paragraph today. We think it no concern of ours, and ends with, but most of us favor such memberships. And in 3 short minutes after Kathy K. from California shares, I'd like to open up the lines for additional folks to share on that if you haven't shared in the last 3 days. Good morning, Kathy. Star 1, please.
Hi, this is Kathy K. from California. Grateful to be on a meeting this morning and grateful for everyone doing service. Thank you so much. Coming into Overeaters Anonymous 20 years ago, to hear about a loving higher power was something that was really foreign to me. The God of the religion of my upbringing was watching you and keeping score and going to punish you if you sinned. That's what I remembered. And so to hear about a higher power who truly only wanted the best for you and loved you and wanted good things for you was pretty foreign. It was something that I have to admit I still occasionally struggle with today. But I know that if I keep working the steps and keep talking with people who are recovered and who have had the experience of a power greater than themselves in their life, I will get to having that understanding in my own life. So celebrating 14 days of abstinence today, and I'm so grateful for the Visions meetings. They've really transformed my recovery. So that's all I've got to say. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy K. from California. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so others might have an opportunity to come up and share their experience as well. So if you share it on Friday or Monday, let's consider having maybe tomorrow be your first day back to share. But in the meantime, I'd like to open up the lines for those that would like to comment on paragraph 4, page 28 today. First name, first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, please.
Michelle.
Michelle, what was your last initial?
Jay from Arkansas.
Okay, great, thanks. And a couple of other folks.
Grace
I didn't
K,
catch.
Pennsylvania.
Grace K. Mm-hmm.
Joe Donna M. from Minnesota.
D. Joe M. Minnesota.
Donna
one more time,
B.
Second person. Donna B. Okay, gotcha, Donna. Colorado.
Jody H. from Maine.
Jody H. from Maine. Anybody else? Okay, great. Let's go with it. Did I hear somebody?
Sherry M. from California.
Sherry M. And just in case anybody happens to be on a speakerphone, if you could transfer that, I think that we can hear the audible a little bit better that way, if you don't mind. It's good for the recording as well. So this is what I have. Michelle J., Grace K., Joe M., Donna B., Jody H., and Sherry M. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle J., calling in from Arkansas, taking my seat. I am a compulsive overeater, recovered and recovering every day. Been in here 2 years. Wow, I had a few different spiritual awakenings, and just recently this paragraph just fits into what God has been doing in my new spiritual awakening. And that is, you know, who am I to tell anybody how they find God, what God looks like to them? We are like snowflakes or fingerprints. Everybody's on this really beautiful journey of their own. We can't force people to have ours or sometimes even understand what we're going through. But God has a plan, a very beautiful, perfect plan for every single person. You know, God recently literally just threw me into the water, and it was the water of emotions. It was a Pandora's box, and it was the hardest thing I ever did, and I was drowning. Then he reached in, and he said, guess what? What is it that what's your big resentment? What is it? And I said, sin. It is sin all across the board. It was so deep inside of me, I didn't know it was there. I hated brokenness. I hated everything about the sin nature and human. Oh, it was horrible. And then I got mad at him, and I started saying, your plan is horrible. 7,000 years, look what you've done. This is a mess, God. My concept of God was just like, it was rocking, and I was so angry. And then today, this is just in the last 2 weeks, in one day, it's like, wow, working the fourth step. Working that fourth step, wow. So in that fourth step or tenth step, I just thought, you know, God, guess what? I haven't surrendered the big plan to you. I couldn't see. I just couldn't see it. And I don't have to. I don't have to fix anything or anybody around me. You really do have this, and it really is for good. I don't have to force my ideas and my thoughts and my God and my anything. God will do this for everybody. In their own time, in their own way, work these steps. The fourth and the tenth step, it opens the door to understand what's really going on inside, and then God comes along and helps you to understand what to do with it. And now I have such peace. I'm surrendering everything and everybody at such a depth of a level now I can let go. He's got this. And I just think it's awesome. And so, wow. Anybody who knows me for the past 2 years, you know, wow. Anyways, I just want to thank all of you for being here and for working 10 steps with me and 4 steps and being my sponsor and all that stuff. It is a journey well worth taking. And with that, I'll pass.
It's time. I'm good. Great. Thank you so much. Grace K from Pennsylvania, you're up next. And then Joe M, you'll follow her. Good morning, Grace.
Hi, this is Grace K from Pennsylvania. I'm a compulsive eater. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service and everybody's service. And it's great to hear everybody share this morning. So I just wanted to speak up a little bit. I'm on day 70, I think, of abstinence and am on step 9. And this paragraph just resonated. Like when I think of religion, for me, I actually think of achievement and just how much I had to be perfect in order to be okay. And my higher power was my parents, my father, and that was how I really, if I could become someone, then I would be okay. And so this program has really enabled me to learn that I'm a child of God as I am. I don't need to perform. I don't need to perfect myself. I don't need to become and achieve to be this, whatever perfect even means, someone that other people love. And that's human power, ultimately, is looking for human power to fill this gaping God-sized hole. And I realized today that I don't have to do that, and what a relief. And looking back to seeing that achievement or that need to become, it's self-will. Talk about self-will. And today I can ask. I can just ask instead of trying to figure things out and know that I'm loved without having to become something. And I can let go and trust today my higher power. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Grace K. Joe M. from Minnesota, you're next for 3 minutes, and then Donna B. will follow you.
Thank you, Melanie, for your service. My name is Joe, and I'm a compulsive overeater. We make it no concern of ours what religious bodies our members identify themselves with as individuals. And, you know, I don't have to concern myself with that. I don't have to concern myself with anybody else's religious affiliation, because that's not the point. And I don't have to concern myself with my own intellectual affiliation either, because that's not the point. You know, because I used to think, well, gee, I've got a certain kind of intellectual freedom and a certain intellectual strength, and certainly that should save me from compulsive overeating, but it didn't. So I've learned that I have to keep in mind that particular limitation. If I start thinking that my intellectual affiliation, the intellectual tradition that I come from, that is what I need to recover from compulsive overeating, it absolutely is not. I need access to a power greater than myself. And I think, you know, it says religious bodies. I mean, I could replace that with other things too, because I don't have to concern myself, nor should I, with anyone's political affiliation, social affiliation, economic affiliation, racial affiliation. I do not have to concern myself with that. When I'm working with someone in sponsorship, my concern for them is that they're a compulsive overeater who is hungry for a way out. I'm a compulsive overeater hungry for a way out. That's all I got to know. And I'm very grateful that the Big Book keeps me focused and the program of recovery keeps me focused on why I'm here and what I'm trying to do. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Joe M. from Minnesota. Donna B. from Colorado, you're next. And then Jody H. from Maine will follow you.
Thank you, Mel. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. I do spell my name D-A-N-A. I'm sort of pausing and reflecting for a moment on that past share. It was so relevant to what's going on in the world today. Thank you so much. I heard a religious person, a rabbi, once say that religion is for people who are scared of hell. And the program of recovery is for people who have already been to hell. I grew up with a religion, but not with a God. I've shared before that my dad is a Holocaust survivor. He was born in Nazi-occupied Poland in 1941. And growing up with him, he made it adamantly clear that there is no God. There is nothing after death. We are just animals that end up back as dirt and worms. And on religious holidays that required observance, my dad would exhibit defiance. So on days in which we were to fast, he would gorge himself to prove that although he was Jewish, he would not adhere in any way to a God. So when I came into the rooms, I didn't necessarily have I thought I didn't have a prejudice against a religion or God because I felt that I came in with nothing. And that has been my prejudice, the preconceived idea that there's nothing. And even just this morning in my prayer, I wrote to God, God, please speak to me. Please provide me guidance for today. And I wrote, but I believe it's God's guidance, pray all throughout the day. Seek me in all that you do and all that you say. I am here to help you. I am here to love you and to guide you. I am real. I am your Father and I love you. Believe in me. Practice and it will come. I don't have to prove myself to you. You need to seek diligently and earnestly. I am your God and I am here. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Jody H. from Maine, you're up next. And then Sherry M. from California will follow you.
Thank you so much. My name is Jody H. from the state of Maine. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, still recovering, not cured. I love this paragraph. It brings together for me the whole fiber of the OA program. The purpose of this book is to lead us to a spiritual experience. And as a child, I had a desire for a spiritual experience. It was within me. And I was brought up in a religion that was very dry and didn't satisfy me. And then over the years, I became hardened because of my I didn't see the spiritual experience anywhere in my life. But when I came to the program, I realized that I had found a way back to my higher power. Not through God, not through hearing God all the time, but experiencing the freedom that there is to do these steps and to do them thoroughly. And as I work with other sponsees, I notice that if this food wants to kill us, these allergies want to kill us. And it's a serious business, and it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. And if we don't get that personal relationship with a higher power, it seems like people will not get it. They just won't get it. If they've gone through the steps and still haven't experienced that experience, I see it as a necessity for them to be successful. And there's nothing like having a God that you can go to day and night whenever you're hungry and you want more than your food plan says, and you want to be resentful about something, this is a way of life that is only satisfied through a relationship with others and with our higher power. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jody H. from Maine. In about 3 minutes, I believe I will be able to open up the line for at least two additional shares on paragraph 4, page 28. In the meantime, I'd like to call on Sherry M. from California to share for 3 minutes.
Good morning. I'm Sherry M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from California. Thank you so much for all your service and for everyone's shares this morning. I love this is one of those paragraphs again. And every time I read the big book, I'm having more and more of an experience of, wow, look at how roomy and inclusive, and this book is for everyone. And this is one of those paragraphs. We don't have any opinions. Isn't that interesting? Like, it doesn't matter. I can tell you that when I first started coming to 12-step rooms and I heard the God word, it completely turned me off. I left. I couldn't stay. I thought I had so many prejudices about what I thought was going on in the rooms. And it wasn't until I went out and did more research for several more years, and maybe even a decade at that point, and was beaten to the pulp by this disease. And I came in, and it didn't matter anything about what my previous prejudice was. My sponsor at the time suggested that I go down to, that all I needed to know was that there was a power greater than me. Did I concede that it wasn't me and that there was another power? Yes, of course, because at that point I probably had 2 weeks or 3 weeks of not binging, and that wasn't happening for me. All of my prior experience showed that I could not do that, so there was a power, and I just started believing in that. And then she suggested I go down to the beach and try to make the waves stop, and I couldn't do that. So that's all it took. I had to set aside all my prejudice, and I continued to do so here. And what I love is I love the saying that says, like, why all of my beliefs, right, and my prejudice need to be questioned. Why would I take advice from the only person in the world who's ever tried to kill me, which is me? I have to question everything, the way I was living, my beliefs, all of that was killing me on a daily basis with food. And now I have such a deep experience with a higher power that is not of my understanding. I choose to call my higher power God, but sometimes I just call it nature or love, or I look at my dog and I think that's my higher power. It really doesn't matter. All that matters is I continue to work the steps, keep an open mind. Even if I go in and out of atheism or questioning things, all of this is my path, and I just remember that there's a power greater than myself that's keeping me recovered today. And I have never had more joy and happiness and love and light in my life. And if I look back to the way I was living when I had contempt for religion, I had none of those things. And I will wrap up with that and just wishing everyone a beautiful, blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry M. from California. If you haven't shared in the last 2 or 3 days, I'd love to be able to offer an opportunity for two more people to comment on paragraph 4, page 28. First name, first initial, last name, and your state, please.
Sandy K.
Sandy K. from Florida. And then who else?
Ilana K. Israel.
Ilana K. Israel. Let's go with those two and see what happens with time. Sandy, you're up for three right now, madam, and then Ilana.
All right. Thank you. I'm Sandy K. from Florida, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater for today. I actually love talking about spirituality, but not really religion. When I was first introduced to OA, which was I don't know how many years ago, but I walked into an OA meeting and I was about 5 pounds overweight. I heard people talking about Jesus Christ. And I said, oh, this is not a program for me. This is for Christians, because I grew up in a Jewish family. So I left. And I didn't come back until I was almost 50 pounds overweight and in another state. And I heard that I was going to have to find a higher power. And I grew up in a secular home. We were Jewish. We were proud to be Jewish, but my father was an atheist, my mother an agnostic. And I really had no conception of God. So here I'm a blank slate. So what I did was, and over the last number of years, I've been in program a few decades, I have come to find a higher power of my understanding. And my higher power is going to be a lot different than most everybody else. It's my higher power. Nobody is telling me who I have to believe in and what I have to do, except if I want the solution, I need to find a power greater than myself. I need to find a power greater than flesh and blood, Sandy. And it just made it easier for me. So my higher power has morphed over the years, but I still have a higher power I can turn to. Because if I don't have a higher power, I can't work the steps. I mean, I can't work any of the steps after step four. So it's the most important part of my program today. It gives me the most joy and bliss. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy K. from Florida. Next up is Alana K. from Israel.
Hi, Alana. Thank you for your service. I'm grateful to be here. I usually attend the 7 o'clock meeting, but I wasn't able to today, and I'm glad to have gotten on this meeting. This paragraph really spoke to me, and this is that people have shared. You know, I grew up also Jewish, but definitely not, you know, religious. We kind of went to Sunday school and synagogue, as they call it. But I was always searching, and I, of all my, you know, my immediately family members, you know, I went to YMCA camps and, like, came home doing candle vigils every night. Like, I was always trying to find, you know, a higher power. But organized religion to me was, like, you know, just something that people kind of rely on because they need something to believe in. And, you know, I grew up with a lot of friends, the majority who were not the same religion as I was, and I thought them very foolish, you know, the religious ones, because their religion made no sense to me, nor did mine from what I understood. And I was 18 when I had my first spiritual experience. I'll never forget it. I was like sitting on top of a waterfall in college. You know, we went to some beautiful park, Cascades Park, and all that came back to me was just to sing, you know, the songs that I had known, the prayers that I had known from growing up the way I did. And I felt like that moment, you know, my higher power picked me up and plucked me out. And that summer I had exposure to Torah true Judaism for the first time in my life, and I kind of found home. That was my first spiritual experience. My life, you know, turned upside down overnight, from the way I dress to what I eat to, you know, the way I tie my shoes. Like, I became an observant Jew, and I live in Israel now, and I'm 42. I've been, you know, living this way longer than I haven't. But that didn't help me when it came to program. In fact, I think it hindered me because I had such a clear definition of what I thought a higher power was. And, you know, as much as I could connect to that higher power, I had some prejudices that I really had to throw away. And I do say that set-aside prayer every single morning and sometimes during the day. I have to remind myself, just for today, just for these 24 hours, I'm going to choose to believe this, you know, a certain thing about my higher power. Because, you know, when people say God of our understanding, to me, it's a God of my not understanding, because I cannot understand God the way that he works, like that with my religious beliefs, which I do believe, you know, for me are true. There are certain things that I can't comprehend, and I've come to accept that I just won't understand them. So it's a God of my not understanding, but I'm still choosing to rely upon that higher power. But being religious and being spiritual are two very different things for me. And this program, you know, being an addict and having no choice but to rely on that higher power to keep me abstinent, to keep me sane, to keep me from screaming at my, thank you, more beautiful children. You know, I have to have an active, real higher power in my life. And that's what I get through working these steps. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Alana Kay from Israel. And that will be the last share on the paragraph today, everybody, as we wrap up the recorded portion of our meeting. Please stay with us as we go on to the last 10 minutes, which will be unrecorded. You'll find lots of good information as well there. So I'd like to ask Sherry M. from California to please read page 164 to close us out with this particular meeting this morning. On our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer if you'd like to join together. Hi, Sherry.
Hi there. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.